In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Each Sunday of Lent has two themes. And the day, the first Sunday of Great Lent, we have the triumph of orthodoxy, it's called. It's the victory of the iconodules over the iconoclasts. The iconodules, those that love and venerate, support the veneration of icons, over the iconoclasts, the destroyer of the icons, destroyers. This came as a decision of the Seventh Ecumenical Council. It took like over 100 years to get this thing figured out. And you'd think that it took so long and was so clear that icons, the veneration of icons has been settled, and that any veneration shown to the icon is not to the wood. This is not being deified, but rather any veneration shown to the one depicted passes through to the one depicted, the prototype, St. Basil said. You'd think that if it was so clear, we wouldn't have so many iconoclasts today, but they are alive and thriving, for sure. All one has to do is, you know, go and talk about them or invite people into your homes and things, and you'll see. The reason that it's so important, besides that we're actually celebrating kind of a historical event, it's this Sunday that the icons were restored, the first Sunday of Great Lent. But it ties in with the gospel passage. You know, we don't have two themes that are like separate. We've got two themes, but they're connected. The gospel passage is that one we've got today of Jesus putting together his disciples, men starting to follow him, you know? We read about Nathanael, the man without guile. We take a deeper look, we'll see this gospel passage is the incarnation gospel, right here at the beginning of Lent. So, it's an announcement to some Galileans. They found the long prophesied, long hoped for Messiah. And we see the God-man in this gospel, and we see what he's like, who he is, what he's like. So to set the stage, Andrew came first to follow Christ. He went and got his brother, Simon Peter. And while the Lord said to Philip, follow me, Philip immediately did so without any hesitation. He answers the call and he's filled with zeal for Christ. And he began at once to recruit others and bring them to the Lord. So the gospel begins, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, come and see. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Saint Nikolai Vilimirovich said, Nathanael's question should not be understood as a malicious remark by a hard and skeptical heart, but as a concern of a sincere heart that his friend might have been duped. Philip, don't be duped. No one is actually going to know who the Messiah's parents and siblings are. I mean, this had to be his thought. And Nazareth and Galilee are in the same region. This is like the East Valley. You know, we found him. He's in Chandler or something. So he'd be like, can anything good come out of Chandler? You know? Don't take offense. But I think it's even more than that. You know, wasn't he supposed to come from Bethlehem? Can anyone as good as the promised Messiah, the son of David, the king of Israel, grow up in our region? We probably know his family. You know, they might have a table that Jesus or his dad made. They've lived there for 30 years. I mean, in our terms, it'd be like we might have played him in soccer. You know, I might have dated his sister. Like, he's a person with a family, and he just is from here. Like, we found him, and he's not like in the South where we wouldn't have run into him. Like, we might shop in the same robe store or something. Like, Like, he's a real person with parents. Like, my mom might be friends with his mom. That's the incredible thing that he's like, can anything good, like, it's too good that he would be from here. I've always kind of read it the other way. You've heard me preach on this before, that, you know, picking on the next town kind of thing. Nazareth's very close to Galilee, you know, they're close. And you kind of pick on the next town, we're better than whatever. But St. Nikolai is clear, it's not a malicious remark. It's not malicious, he just doesn't want his friend to be duped. What we find is Jesus is the treasure hidden in the field. He wasn't putting himself forth. Come and see, you know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see wins the day. We're not going to argue. Why don't you come and see? You decide. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no God. Nathanael says to Jesus, how do you know me? Jesus answered, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, this is a quick change. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I saw you under the fig tree. He says, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, the King of Israel. He goes all the way, all the way. The Lord saw Nathanael before Philip found him. The Lord knows the secrets of his heart, very easily knows where Nathanael is and what he's doing. Before Nathanael had decided to go with Philip to see Jesus, Jesus knew his thoughts and knew his heart. No one can hide from God's sight. King David, pondering this, said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou discernest my thoughts from afar. Thou searchest out my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, Lord, lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou dost beset behind me and before me and lays thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. St. David, Psalm 139, you know, he had this. The Lord knows me. And he knows what I'm going to say before my tongue even moves. And Nathanael just experiences this. He experiences that the God-man is inescapable. His presence is all-embracing. He's everywhere present, filling all things. Being on earth, St. Nikolai again says, he had all knowledge. He saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He encounters men. He can see their past, their present, their future. Beholding the temple in Jerusalem, if you remember this, he said, all these stones will be, like, none of them will be touching each other. Like, all the stones will be thrown down. This whole temple will be gone. He can see it. He saw a man from afar carrying a water pitcher and told the disciples, that's the guy you're going to say we're having Passover in his house. Palm Sunday, go get the donkey and the foal. They're over there. Go get them. He can see it. Time is not an obstacle for him. This one born in Bethlehem and brought up in Nazareth. Time is not an obstacle for him. Place is not an obstacle for him. Jesus knows what he was doing by telling Nathanael that he saw him under a fig tree. Some people say, you know, when I die and go to heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus this question or something, you know. I don't really have that, you know. When I die and go to heaven, I'm going to find so-and-so, like St. Peter, and say da-da-da and ask him. But I do want to know what was going on under the fig tree. And I do want to ask. What was it when Jesus said, I saw you before Philip got there? I saw you under the fig tree. Because the next thing he's like, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. It's like a lot, you know, instead of saying, oh, wow, you know, that's incredible. That's neat, you know, or something. But there is something that happened under the fig tree. I hope that you hear that Lent. If you did this, if you embraced this, this could be the fig tree. This could be the quiet place that you sat and the Lord got to see you. We need a fig tree. All of us need a fig tree. It might be an actual tree or something you go sit under in your backyard. But it's got to be a quiet place where the Lord can see you and you can see the Lord. We have got to have a fig tree. Lent can be the fig tree kind of for us, you know. But I think like we're going to have to find a quiet space and sit down. And I don't know what Nathaniel was doing. Praying. Pondering. He was up to something good. He was up to something good. He has no guile. We do not want to be sitting under the tree scrolling through videos. We do not want to be wasting our time with distractions. Boredom is good. Boredom is good. We've got to embrace boredom. We have to. You've got to let your kids be bored. There's nothing worse than going to a restaurant and seeing kids playing on a big iPad. Every kid's got their own. It's like just a little boredom. Just wait for the food, kid. You know? Something profound happened under the fig tree, and we need some time under the fig tree for ourselves. Nathaniel would have confessed Jesus is Rabbi and the Son of God from something that happened under there. Jesus answered, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? Even he's kind of like, whoa, big response. You shall see greater things than these. And Jesus said, and I want you to hear this, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of God. The Lord said this to Nathanael, but the promise is to all of us. Because the Greek, if you do the like, just a straight translation, it reads, I mean, that truly, truly is amen, by the way. So if we were going to do it, it would be amen, amen, I say to all of you. The Greek is really clear. It's not singular you. It's I say to all of you. That's very clear. It's not a question. All of you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And that's what I'm saying to you this morning. All of you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Like, this message is for us. The promise is sure. The one who promises is true. You will see heaven opened and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. If you read the scriptures, from the beginning, the angels have served the Savior. An angel appeared to Zechariah to tell him about the birth of his son, Christ, forerunner, John. An angel appeared to the holy God-bearer, Theotokos, to tell her of the great mystery of Christ's birth. The angels directed Joseph and the wise men. Angels came to minister to Jesus after he overcame Satan's temptations in Gethsemane. And in the wilderness, too, after fasting for 40 days like we're trying to do. Angels descended to his tomb after the resurrection. It goes on and on. Stephen, the first martyr, saw heaven opened. Remember, he's being martyred. He looks up and he can see Jesus sitting at the right hand. That did not go well for him. It's not what those people wanted to hear. And what I want to say is that it's happening right now. In this liturgy, this is what we're doing. The heavens are open, and the angels of God are ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's what's happening. Sometimes with our thoughts, our sins leave a veil over our eyes, and Lent is that effort we're putting to clear that sight, to confess our sins, to come back to the Lord, to come back to the sweetness, the heavenly air of being around the Lord cheerfully with elation. It'll be a tightness, a stretching. But that's how we were made stronger and how our faith grows. Everybody that works out knows you get sore muscles, and that's how they get stronger. So Lent is that time of stretching, time of work, a time of setting aside, a time of self-denial, a time of looking at ourselves, striving and going inward. So let us therefore, during these all revered days, draw near to our sweetest Lord Jesus, who loves us. He sees you. He sees you. He listens to you. He knows what you are going to say before your tongue moves. He understands how you feel. He sees you and he loves you. Even now, all of that is paradise. I mean, that's paradise. So let's cut the cares, as St. Haralambo said. Let's cut the cares. Let's throw the dumb anxiety rectangle into the desert and find a fig tree so that Christ can see us and we can see him. Let's unplug from the fake world and encounter reality in Christ and his simple life. And this should be a huge relief for all of us, you know, to cut the cares and find a quiet place where we're gonna think about the Lord. Maybe we have a prayer book to kind of start our minds off in the right way. Read Psalm 139 to hear David say these things that I've read, you know, to imitate Nathaniel. So look up. Everybody always says Lent's this slog, you know, and clean week's the worst and all of this. I don't get that. So, at Orthros this morning, we sang at Vespers last night about the joy we want is to like clap our hands, singing about Lent. It's like all about joy. Not everybody's joyful. But. So find a fig tree. It'll be paradise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you.